The peace of the Lord be with you. Amen. So you would like to go to heaven? Not easy. The hardest thing for any human being. You see, in heaven, there is no place for anything that is imperfect. If you want to go to heaven, you must be absolutely righteous, absolutely holy, absolutely perfect. For in the sight of God, there can be no unholiness, no unrighteousness, no sin. So you want to go to heaven. You see, it's not easy because you know that you're not perfect. You're not righteous. Now, of course, a lot of people are kidding themselves. They think they can be good enough and they can be righteous enough to satisfy God. You know, man is a strange critter. He's got with him the besetting sin that threw the whole world into the power of hell. You know what Satan did to Eve and to Adam? He says, hey, look, you ought to be like God. Wouldn't you like to be like God? Oh, sure you'd like to be like God. You'd like to be your own master. The master of your destiny and the captain of your fate. I tell you what, God knows that if you should by any means get a hold of the fruit of that tree, then you'd be like he is. Your eyes would be open to know good and evil. You'd be like God. Well, of course, you know, that's the great lie, the great deception with which Satan was successful in bringing the whole human race under the curse and under the judgment and condemnation of God. But you know, it's a strange thing. When you speak of original sin, not only the guilt of Adam and Eve rests upon us, is transmitted to us through our conception and birth, but also the same tendencies, the personality traits are there. And so people are still trying to be their own masters and the captains of their own destiny, and they still are trying to satisfy God as they think they can. But I'm here to tell you that if you want to get to heaven, it's going to be beyond your own righteousness. That's what Jesus said. He had his audience there and he says, I tell you, except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Everybody knew that the best people, or supposedly best people, the most righteous people, were the scribes and the Pharisees. Oh my, they were so good and so holy and so perfect. And as they walked about the streets with all of their holy machinations and carryings on, people envied them and said, oh my, if only I could be as good as brother Pharisee so-and-so. But Jesus says, you have to be even better than that. And the Pharisees are going to find out they have to be better than they are. For no man can in any way be good enough. There is no possibility for human nature to rise above its denominator. And it is the lowest denominator. For within us there is not the power, all the strength to attain to the perfection and the righteousness which God requires. That is why Luther says in the third explanation of the third article, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ to come to him. I can't do it by myself. I need help, and the help that I have and the help that I need and the help that will save and the perfection that is mine is in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit, by his power, brings us to Jesus Christ and establishes within us faith in Jesus. And by that faith, brings to us the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's a sad thing, more and more as you read the theological journals of the world today, you find that the majority of Christendom does not understand Jesus Christ, what he did, who he is, or why he came, or what to do with him. He is everything but what Jesus Christ came to be. Our Savior, the Lamb of God, who was our substitute, who took upon himself the iniquity of us all, who gave his life a ransom for the sins of the whole world, who said, Father, these people can't be perfect, and I will give them help. That is love, perfect love, and that is grace, perfect grace. The Lord Jesus Christ did everything perfectly. His righteousness is complete. His holiness is the holiness of heaven. His payment is the full satisfaction of the demands of the justice of the absolute and just God and Father of heaven and earth. And it is only through the merits and the sacrifices of Jesus Christ that we have the righteousness that will stand and avail before God to allow us to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's beyond your righteousness and my righteousness. It is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. By faith in Jesus Christ, by the blessed means of his grace, the precious gospel, and the blessed sacrament, to us is brought this righteousness. It is ours. With that righteousness and in that righteousness we are reborn. For in Jesus Christ, by faith, by baptism, by our acceptance of him, we are crucified, we are dead, and we are buried, and we are risen again. We are risen out of the death of our sinful life, the death of our judgment and destruction, to the new life. You know, a lot of people forget this. In the following verses, in fact, not only the verses that were read of the gospel concerning our relationship to our brother, but all the others where it deals with adultery and so forth, Jesus points out that it isn't the letter that is adequate. A lot of people think, well, I haven't killed anybody, so that's I'm fine. I haven't hit anybody over the head. That's okay. They forget that hatred is murder in the sight of God. Someone will say, I haven't taken anybody's wife. I haven't committed fornication with anybody. I haven't raped anybody. I'm good and clean. But they forget that out of the heart proceed the evil thoughts. The imaginations of our heart are evil, and the thoughts of our hearts are fornication, adulteries, blasphemies, murders, envies. So you see, we need the righteousness of Jesus Christ if we are to have any hope at all. I feel sorry for those great masses of people who sit and hear their shepherds, supposedly shepherds, more in the category of hirelings, expound all sort of malarkey about how good and how perfect and how beautiful life should be, but never come to the one crucial point in it all, the righteousness of Jesus Christ for us, which is ours by faith, which is ours as a gift, namely grace, and grace, you know, is a present. The righteousness of Christ, which is beyond all human righteousness, which alone gives us the assurance of life everlasting, of the new reborn life here, and the life eternal in heaven. The precious means of grace seal this righteousness to us. The precious gospel which you someday are going to preach, and some of you are preaching now, and the precious means of grace which in a few moments you will again experience as Jesus Christ himself, the crucified, with his given body and shed blood, will come to you under the bread and the wine and say, rejoice, you are forgiven, you are clean throughout, through my sacrifice, my body and blood. You are cleansed. You have the new life. Remember, then, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The words of that beautiful hymn are so lovely, so meaningful. We should never forget it. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress, midst shining worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Through Christ, his righteousness, the righteousness beyond all righteousness, we enter into the kingdom of heaven. And friends, that is not hard, for it is a gift accepted in Christ and from him. Amen.